David Lightman, McClatchy, D.C. David, you must have whiplash. Things are so busy.
I love it. Yeah. Election season, you can't. Yeah, it's wonderful.
You know, I actually want to counter program for a second and start with the British Prime Minister. So he's coming to town, and yeah. Is there a concern that if they let Ukraine, with the jawboning that Putin's doing, that if they let them send some missiles deep into Russia, that we're going to have a bigger problem on our hands, or do they think it's a bluff?
You know, that's a good question. They're not tipping their hand on that. I mean, Putin's made it pretty clear that, yeah, if they use the longer-range Western missiles inside his country, he'd consider it an act of war. But I think, you know, it kind of goes back to 1962 and the Cuban Missile Crisis and some other incidents along the way where it looked like, you know, we were on the brink of war. And the Russians tend to back off, just like they did in 1962, just like they did with Reagan in the early 80s. So I think there's going to be a lot of angry rhetoric, but I don't think they really feel Putin's suddenly going to attack Poland or the Czech Republic. But again, I say that, as you can see, very haltingly.
Yeah, my bigger concern is like the use of these ridiculous like tactical nuclear weapons. I think that if you let Ukraine do that, I think Russia all of a sudden gets kind of desperate, because I don't know if they can hold up in a multi-front dynamic.
Well, that's the question. Is this 1985 where the Soviet Union is falling apart internally, and somehow we were able to take advantage of that? And I won't get into all the details, but as you know, it collapsed in 1989. Has Putin lost so many men, and has his defense arsenal become so shattered that, in fact, all he can do is bluff, that he really can't suddenly launch a multi-front offensive somewhere? Yeah. We don't know, but that seems to be the thinking. But again, I say that haltingly.
And then domestic-wise, we have the spending bill, and you might want to explain it to me. There's like a voter ID amendment that could kill it, and what's going on?
Oh, God, yeah. If the Congress doesn't act by October 1st, the government shuts down because it's the beginning of the fiscal year. The House Republican leadership had a plan this week to fund the government for 6 months through late March, but it also included a clause that said unless you're a U.S. citizen, you can't vote. Well, that's already federal law. This would, I guess, extend it. A lot of Republicans were skittish about that because they're running in Democratic districts, and they don't want to have to defend that. Then the hard right doesn't like the idea that, once again, you're funding the government for 6 months instead of tackling real issues. So the whole thing died. I think what's going to happen in the end, there's going to be a lot of hand-wringing and all that. I suspect that the last week in September, they will pass something to keep the government running until after the election, mid-December. Yeah. Because, see, the Republicans want to keep it going until late March in the hope that Trump wins and they control both houses and they can set the agenda. Democrats are not that confident. So I think in the end, we'll be talking about this again in early to mid-December.
Yeah, I always wondered about this voter ID thing. You know, New Hampshire just signed one of the more restrictive voter ID things in the country, which surprised a lot of people. Why is it such a, like, for me, in my world, I've had a student ID since I was, 16? I've had a license since I was 16, so it's hard for me to relate to it. But what is the argument on the left for not wanting these things?
It goes back to the days, the pre-civil rights era, when white officials in the South would use various means to keep blacks from voting.
Right.
They would demand, you know, a lot of
poll tax or whatever there is.
Yeah, or maybe they didn't have any kind of driver's license or whatever. You know, a lot of people don't vote because they don't want to be called for jury duty, for example, or they don't want to be identified. So it, to the left, it looks like, not just the left, but it seemed to be a way of, again, intimidating people of color from coming to the polls.
Hmm. David Lightman, McClatchy, D.C., joining us here on Brian & Company. Okay, let's get to presidential politics. Listen, the general consensus, left and right, is that, you know, Trump had a bad night. And even though Harris did some dodging. She calculated her dodges. If you noticed, I listened to a podcast yesterday about this. When she had her toughest questions is when she brought out the bait for Trump. So when she was being asked about whether it was, you know, better off 4 years ago or immigration, she's like, oh, your crowd sizes. You know, I mean, it was calculated. But what is the buzz?
Buzz is that, you know, Trump lost, no question, that he's scrambling right now. But, and this is a big but, it's only September 13th. We still have 7 weeks to go here. Will anybody remember this 2 weeks from now? You know, Hillary Clinton arguably won all three debates in 2016. Look how that turned out. There's a lot of some surprise that Trump doesn't want another debate. Yeah, we'll see how long.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that, too.
Yeah, because if you go back to 2012, I mean, the first Romney-Obama debate, Romney came out on top, and Obama needed that next debate. And, of course, the famous one was 1984, when Reagan looked old and tired and confused and came back 2 weeks later in the second debate ready and blew Walter Mondale away. So you would think Trump would want another shot. I wouldn't rule it out, by the way, regardless of what he says. I go back to 1980. When Jimmy Carter wouldn't debate Ronald Reagan, and they said he wouldn't do it and all that. But then as Reagan began to creep closer to him, they agreed on a debate a week before the election. And you know the rest. Carter thought he would expose Reagan as a right-wing nut job, and it turned out just the opposite.
Yeah.
People looked at Reagan and said, this guy isn't so terrible.
I think he's just messing around. I think there will be another one.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know. He tends to do this, like when he used to threaten to sue everybody. I don't know. I just feel like it's just part of the way he works through things. David Lightman, McClatchy, D.C. Anything else shaking we should know about, or any thoughts on your mind?
Well, again, all the talk is presidential race. And it's still considered a tight race, 50-50. Nobody quite knows how to get that undecided vote. The people everybody's watching is not so much the undecided voter, but the voter who may be reluctant to turn out. And that's why that debate was important to Harris. People don't know Harris. They don't know if they can trust her with the presidency. So that's the key question here. Did people watch that and say, yeah, I can see her as president? That's what we're not sure of yet. That's what we're going to have to learn through reporting, through polling, and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Dan Haar. I mean, you can't find somebody to talk to who was undecided. You know what I mean? Like, would have been nice to sit down with some people who were like, okay, I watched it, and this is not what I think. But I think with Trump, there's always been what they call the secret vote or the closet vote.
Yeah.
Like, which way does the closet vote break? In 16... they wouldn't admit it, but they voted for Trump. In 20, they wouldn't admit it, but they voted for Biden. And so what does the closet vote do this time?
Well, to me, one of the keys here is moderate Republicans. The Republicans, the Rob Simmons, Chris Shays, Chris DiPino Republicans, are they who may not say to you, yeah, I'm going to vote for Harris, but they're not saying anything. And I'm curious, are they going to stay home? Are they going to go out and vote for Harris? They're going to vote for Trump. That's why Connecticut, Massachusetts, very interesting, you know, the Charlie Baker types. What are they going to do? That could determine a lot.
Yeah, it certainly won't matter in Massachusetts and Connecticut. But
well, no. But in Michigan, Ohio, and so forth, who knows? The other thing is, that closet Trump vote. I think I told you years ago when I was in North Carolina in 2016, just before the election, talking to people, a white upper-middle-class suburb, nobody would say they were for Trump. What they would say is, I don't like Clinton.
Yeah.
And that's just, so you got to take, look at those smoke signals, if you were.
Yeah. That's true. Hey, we got to run. Obviously, David, every week's important, so we can't wait to talk again next week.
And vice versa. I look forward to it.